Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina on this Passover week that we have now entered into as we prepare for the end of the week. And today, as we start this new week off, continuing on our journey through the prayer points for the evening watch of the Reordering Our Day book by Chuck Pierce. Today's focus is on overcoming perceived failures and accusations from the enemy. Some that may have some form of merit, but may be contingent upon our actions. So they're not necessarily fully failures. And I'll make my point very clear via the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And the passage of scripture that I want to focus on is verse 16, where it tells us how the Philistine, it's talking about Goliath, came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand, claiming that no one in Israel basically had the guts to come out and fight him, and rightfully so. He was most, pretty much every single body except for David, didn't have the strength to understand how to fight that battle, and they weren't equipped for it. So they had rightful reason to be fearful of it. But David, who God had equipped for such a time as this, just as the Lord has equipped each of us for such a time as this to overcome these failures that the enemy's trying to throw at us, not only now, but in seasons past, is to what we need to be able to do is discern that these are false accusations and realize that the Lord has equipped us to be able to overcome these accusations. And that's clearly all they are. And so obviously, we go through and we read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, and see David defeating Goliath because God had equipped him through his journey alone in the wilderness to be able to defeat Goliath. And the prayer point that we want to focus on for this specific evening watch, as we see Goliath coming out morning and evening, continue to make these accusations, put this fear into the army of Israel, is to stop and get quiet with ourselves, with the Lord, and declare that every word the enemy has been using to convince you of failure will be overturned. And that's key, convince you of failure. We have to discern that these are accusations that the enemy is throwing at us, whether they're out loud by other people or internally in our self-talk. We have to realize that, look, this is not from the Lord. This is death. This is not life. Now, there are clear warnings if the Lord says, no, don't do that. But if you just, you can't do that. Don't, no, that's not you. That's not your. And we have to discern what is the Lord and what's not. What are accusations? And in these moments where we're being convinced where these are accusations, we want to break that. We want to overcome these perceived failures, these accusations the enemy's throwing at us, so that we can walk out like a David into the destiny that the Lord has for us for such a time as this. So we just came out of Purim, and the story of Easter is knowing that. And in this season of preparedness, I guess is the best way to say it, of getting prepared, of refreshing for the coming battle in the natural and in the spiritual, and decisions that are going to have to be made, is it's a great time to get in the habit of getting alone with ourselves and with the Lord each evening to lay down those anxieties, those worries, and release them to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Release them to him. Let him worry about them. Let him take care of them. If it's something that needs to be taken care of out of our hands, let the Lord deal with it and focus on what the Lord would have us here for things in the future. Now, with that being said, there's a lot to get into from this weekend, but I want to focus on a few key points ahead for this week as we go into Passover. Major key thing about everything is that the House and Senate are going into vacation, if not already. All reports I'm reading are showing that most are already on vacation back in their home states because they take a break regularly. So they're going to be on for 2 weeks, but there's still a lot going on in the world. There's still a lot to pray for the office of the president, as those decisions will be highlighted now, today, and really the next couple of weeks, while the House and Senate are out of, and there'll be a lot of bickering back and forth as people campaign for the midterms and stuff like that. But let's get an update on Russia, Ukraine. There's been reports that Russia is saying that it destroyed some missile systems that Ukraine was given to Europe. It's very interesting to see if that's actually true. Haven't seen that confirmed by Ukraine. Also, Russia came out and said the quiet part out loud of how Russia is seeking to end U.S.-dominated world order. This is straight from the mouth of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Very interesting. Croatia standing up to Russia. And then this is the more important issue of Putin has now tapped the gentleman who is deemed the butcher of Syria to basically be the general and central command of the attack on eastern Ukraine, on the Donbas region. This General Alexander, I'm probably going to butcher this, but you can read it here. Dornikov, who was given command of Russian southern military district after achieving infamy for his brutal campaigns in Syria, has now been tasked with conquering Ukraine's eastern Donbas region as Putin desperately tries to eke out some kind of victory. And so the reports of the bombing on the train station from this weekend are reportedly were because of his leadership. And if you know anything about what happened in Syria, about the atrocities and the humanitarian crisis that went on there, this gentleman was put in charge when that stuff went down and was the sole leader and director of that. And now he's being put in Ukraine. So we want to pray for the Ukrainian people in those regions, Ukrainian President Zelensky, our administration, European officials, as we saw Boris Johnson go to Ukraine this weekend and say, we're not giving you the tanks and airplanes and things like that, big weapons that they're asking for. And look, Zelensky's asking for the world, and will take anything that he can get. He's also asking for the United States administration, Biden administration, to send the weapons that they've already promised, because they're going to need them now and in the days ahead, as their satellite images showing Russian forces moving from Kiev region down to the southeastern region of Donbas as they prepare for major attacks being led by this general. So just know that nothing's off the table for this gentleman. Chemical weapons, all that type of stuff. He would be the one to potentially use that. And which now leads into what's interesting of Chuck Pierce talked about it, of when we look at what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, ultimately things lead back to Israel's. Watch Israel as well, see what's happening. So we're seeing that the battle here in the natural is playing out. And now you're seeing economically from Western world, the sanctions being put on Russian businesses and stuff. And it's now been exposed by those who have dug deeper into the Iran nuclear deal that the companies who basically are getting sanctioned right now are going to get a windfall from the Iran nuclear deal, which is very alarming. And so there's the dream that Daniel Pierce had about a possible misfire if we're not careful. And what I want to point out here is that this could potentially be it. Of we're putting these sanctions on Russia, we're getting into a battle with them, but then on the back end, could be a potential misfire of getting in line with Iran, who is the deal is being negotiated with the United States and Iran via Russia. So these same Russian companies that we're sanctioning over here on one hand, our other hand, behind closed doors, is what people aren't paying attention to, mostly in America, because there are other host of issues at play, that these same companies are going to be welcomed with open arms from Iran, and they're going to get a windfall from this, making this deal happen. So this is why we really, really, really want to intercede for our leadership now and in the days ahead on these issues so that they have the fear and the wisdom of the Lord when dealing with these countries and these leaders and trying to make these deals and trying to make things happen that they think is good. They legitimately think this deal is good. They legitimately think this will prevent Iran from getting nuclear capability, even though the facts on the ground and the facts of this deal do not point to that at all. So we're going to pray for them to have wisdom there. And also, if you saw this out of China, I want to point this out. This is a warning, number one, but this is also a warning for totalitarian government overreach and also for food supply issues and restrictions that are at play potentially in the coming months as we're seeing citizens of Shanghai cry out to visiting vice premiers saying we're starving, asking the guards who are watching and keeping them locked down in buildings to give them vegetables, give them food. There have been video reports and of people bombarding supermarkets in certain regions of Shanghai and China as well. So there's just something to keep an eye on with all the whole thing going on because they're having another spread of COVID there as well, showing that lockdowns itself don't work. It goes against a biblical principle if you're reading through Leviticus with us on our Bible reading plan, rather than isolating those who are sick. So I point that out to say, okay, this is something you need to be sober of, be aware of potentially that as China gains influence, these are the things that they would try to influence countries to start doing, more so than that. Now, back home, there's some things that have happened even early this morning or been announced early this morning. But in the coming weeks, I want to point to that. I talked about how we want to look at the weeks ahead, the months ahead. We've been talking about this for quite a while now of, you know, in the Trump era presidency, the economy was going up. And now that Biden's taken over, and even last year, the Trump presidency, because of COVID, things started going down and have continued to go down for a variety of reasons. Now economists are coming out saying that they expect, based upon data that they're seeing, the economy to hit a recession within the next 2 years. And because you have inflation at such a high level and unemployment at such a quote-unquote low level, which both of them are completely false because they're not accounting for full measures, they're manipulated statistics, that a recession is coming. Now, this can put fear in you, or this can put a hope and an optimism in you to say, okay, the Lord warned us about this. If you're not already prepared, start getting prepared of, you know, 1 to 2 months supply of things, get as much debt as possible, and be in a position financially to make it through these times. And as the Biden administration makes decisions like sanctioning Russian companies, but then also at the same time doing backdoor deals to get them paid via the Iran nuclear deal and sending Russian companies and Russian government, country itself, into the open arms of China and Iran and other bad actors around the world, of this may not be something that is short-lived. This may be something that is long-lived. And one thing to know, let you know about how when a recession is coming is look at how a lot of companies, rather than selling a product, watch this, they're not selling a product. They're selling the financing to get the product. They're not telling you how good their product is. They're telling you how good their financing is to get their product, to make it easier for you to continue this lifestyle of consumption, of having what you want, not making certain sacrifices if you can't afford something. And that's the biggest key is watch this, the 0% APR for such and such time. This is this low APR. And again, it's adjustable. Your premiums may be low at first, and then that second, third, fourth, fifth year, they're going to jump up. Whole economic finance lesson there, but real short, but watch that. And so this is warnings, because this is, you're going to start seeing this more, because this that past weekend, that was a big, big thing. Because that's a big key indicator of how people might, understand this, might vote in the coming election. So everything's starting to gear towards the midterms. Now, just because you and I may understand and lean towards, okay, we're going to take care of ourselves, the Lord can provide for us, there's those who want the government to provide for them. Low income, high income, and everywhere in between. They want these entitlement programs. And so there's a differing perspective on this. And this is something we need to be mindful of and be aware of and pray for. And potentially, if the Lord has resourced you to take care of those who are around you, who might in the coming weeks and days be a point of not being able to resource themselves. So just pray for that. Be understanding of that. But it's also time for opportunity. Talked about that before. So I just heads up on that, that you're going to start hearing more stuff about that in the coming weeks, as well as stuff around the border as that stuff starting to heat up. And I want to point to this, and I want to play a clip from South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem of, we're seeing an opportunity arise to really point out the fact that there is no plan on the border issue. Proverb tells us that without a plan, the people perish. And right now, there is no plan out the border to secure the border. And Democrats themselves know that. As former Obama Secretary of Homeland Security, Jeh Johnson, warned during an interview on Sunday that President Biden could potentially pay a huge political price come the midterms if there is not a plan put in place to control the border after Title 42 is removed. And the expectations of up to 18,000 migrants coming across the border per day once that is met. Right now it's like 7,000, maybe a little more that they know of. And now you're talking about doubling that you know of. So that's a key warning. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, Democrats are being hit. You have, let me make sure I get the timing on this right. You have Republicans coming out and really not having any plan whatsoever, any plan that they're running on. Let me play that. There are some within the House who have a plan, but that's not what they're talking about right now. And so, I want to play this because this is very poignant from a leader of a state who has made certain decisions. Because she gave a speech, and I want to hear this, and I want us to hear her talking points on this, because I think this is very key as we look towards who we need to be voting for in the days ahead, because there are certain people getting nominations. There are certain people getting backing by certain political figures that may not be the best actors and may not be the best people to actually get things done that are needed to actually help this this country get back to the foundations that we need.
Very true. Last night, you delivered a speech at the Reagan Library in California, slamming the Biden administration. Let's take a listen to a bit of that.
Biden continues to rely on Russia to broker a nuclear deal with Iran while militias launch rockets at Americans in Iraq. Biden is also asking the dictator in Venezuela to pump more oil at the same time that he muzzles American energy producers. It is absurd.
That's an easy attack, but here's the important thing of what she says.
Our actions as leaders are far-reaching, so are the words that we use. The way we talk to each other has consequences. My advice to the Republican Party is to get over yourself.
Advice to the Republican Party is to get over yourself. Expand on that a little bit.
Listen to this.
Well, I think that at times our party refuses to talk to people that we disagree with. We either blow them up in conversations or jump on Twitter and attack, where this country is desperate for civil conversation and debate around policies. I think people are wondering who they can trust for the truth, who can they trust to defend their freedoms, and that's the Republican Party. It always has been our party. And starting those conversations again, listening to people and visiting with folks that we've been offended by, that we've written off, we need to bring them back into the fold and start building.
And that's key. Because if you see a lot of the, on the right and the left, political pundits, commentators, and anybody in between, politicians, it's been personal attack after personal attack after personal attack. And it started with Trump, and now it's expounded about how that's the thing we do. Justice Scalia always talked about how before he passed away that he never attacked anybody personally. He would attack their ideas and the ideas that they were founding upon, because then you can actually get somewhere with somebody. Because when you start attacking personally, it gets defensive and it gets real ugly really fast. And from the right and the left, we've gone down that road, and we need to be very careful. That's where being of sober mind, checking our emotions at the doors is really important, because we have to start coming together as a nation. And first it starts in the church, of talking about some of the issues that are at play here. And so I want to outline that, because it's not just to sit here and say Democrats are the problem. Republicans are just as well part of the problem, and things need to be dealt with, because this whole LGBTQ stuff is starting to creep its way in to the Republican Party as well, platform. Oh, anything goes. And it's like, well, if we're going to sit here and say that we're a nation founded on principles and a rule of law, then it starts at the very definition of what is a woman that can't be answered by the recent Supreme Court nominee, confirmed nominee. And so I point this out because we need leaders who, in if they're there now or in the future, they need to stand up and talk about the ideas and policies that they want to advocate for, because we need to know who these people are. This idea of voting people in, of passing legislation just to see what's in it, hasn't worked and is going to continue to not work. And the Heritage Foundation talks about how 70% of conservatives, this is obviously a conservative poll, 70% of conservatives want to know the plan of the people running for office. Because it's not enough to, because of the bad economy, win an election and have no plan. That's not going to keep you in a position of a seat at the having a seat at the table. Why do you think Democrats keep winning elections? Because they're actually putting out policies that people can say, okay, I can go with that. What's your other policy? Well, you need to get out of office. We need to investigate you because we don't like you. It's not a good policy. It hasn't worked. And the last time the Republicans did this in 94 under Clinton, it worked, and they stayed in power for quite a time. Now, there's issues with everything, but without a plan, the people perish. And the only plan being put forward right now is an unbiblical, anti-moral, lawless agenda that is being pushed. So we want to pray and intercede for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, use wisdom and revelation to clearly define the policies they are running on and advocating for while they're in office. That makes it very clear as we look towards this next election in your state. What are the policies they're saying they want to advocate for? And also look at where have they done it else in their life? Does their life match up with the policies that they're advocating for? Now, it doesn't mean they have to be perfect, but are they open? Are they honest? Are they coy? Are they hiding things? Are they just trying to get in office because they want to get in office? Are they doing things for social media sake? Or are they actually talking about ideas? Just because somebody says they're America first doesn't necessarily mean they're 100% America first. And just because their idea of what America first means may not be God's idea of what America first means. And so we really have to, in the days ahead, look clearly at what these individuals, the ideas they're advocating for, Do they have a backbone to stand up against this craziness that is coming forward? Now, I want to close on two things, two huge stories. Today, something that was announced is that President Biden is going to, quote, crack down on ghost guns and ensure that the ATF has the leadership it needs to enforce gun laws. And this is coming straight from the White House itself, from their press release fact sheet this morning, where they announced that Dettelbach will be nominated as director of ATF. He still has to get confirmed. He is a former prosecutor who supposedly has work in Northern, who confirmed have work in 2009 in the Northern District of Ohio to work with other officials in curtailing criminal violence in that region. Don't know too much about him. We'll probably hear some more about him in the coming days, but he is more for going after guns as on the heels of the announcement that the Biden administration is going to crack down on quote-unquote ghost guns, which I find this highly susceptible to misinterpretation, because in part of their announcement, they say that there are reportedly, approximately 20,000 suspected ghost guns reported to the ATF having been used since 2016 to now. 20,000 suspected ghost guns, because they can't find a serial number on it, doesn't confirm that the ghost guns are used. It could be a stolen gun and the serial number scrubbed off. There's a host of reasons, and this is not confirmed. And I'm very susceptible of this word suspected. Because you can't confirm that it is, and that this is the 20,000 confirmed ghost guns is a different story. Because this whole agenda that they're pushing forward today is ghost guns. And what they're wanting to do is to track these ghost guns that are made. That's up for debate. That's something to discuss. But then also, as part of this, what they want to do is, we talked about this before, they've tried it before, is the whole making gun dealers keep their records in perpetuity. So if the business goes out of business, they're supposed to keep the records and turn it over to the government so they can build this database. Well, there's a problem with that, because right now, quote unquote, because of ghost guns and they're not able to track guns, they want to build this database. And so this is the way they're trying to go about doing that, so they can know who to go after, who has guns, yada, yada, yada. It's just more aspects of potential government control, which is, time out, very alarming. Most likely the NRA will fight back against this, but this is why you need to, even there are some Republicans who agree with some of this stuff, who you need to be careful of who you vote for in the coming weeks, which is very, really interesting. Also, the last thing on this bill, or this agenda being pushed forward, is that the President Biden is going against progressives in the fact that he's saying he wants more policing, police to be held accountable, putting more police officers on the beat, and making essential investments into crime prevention and community-wide violence intervention. So the whole defund the police movement is squashed for the time being until progressives try to push this stuff forward. So it's a very interesting dynamic here. And then last thing I want to point out, if you saw this article this weekend, it's an opinion article by coming out of CNN, and I think it's very interesting because it shows, it's titled "The Right Wing Children's Entertainment Complex is Upon Us," and talking about how it's such a problem that there are libertarian and conservative children's books being put out there to combat the socialism and wokeism from the companies that are currently out there. But one thing this article does that is very interesting is it kind of attacks a right-wing biblical moral point of view, but it also shows that these companies have been doing this persuasion for such a long time. This lesbian, LGBTQ, socialism type stuff, they've been doing it for a while now. So, and what they're surprised it took so long for these companies to finally stand up and say something. And so when we sit here and we say, we wonder why all this stuff, how did this happen? It creeped up on us. It didn't really creep up on us. 40 years isn't creeping up on us. And so it's interesting to see this now, looking back, of, all right, now's the time to stand up. remember the dream Regis Richard had, I want to say a year and a half ago, where he saw that at first, parents getting involved in the education system would not want to, but then eventually they would. The mother would want to get involved. In this dream, it was Ivanka Trump was a representation of that. But it's that they would get involved. And if you look at a lot of this stuff happening in states, in certain states, you're seeing the evidence of this stuff come out, which is one of the best things from COVID, that stuff like this in New Jersey, where a first grade teacher was told, or in Boston, excuse me, first grade teacher told first graders about being transgender and teaching all this stuff. And this is why the bill in Florida was extremely needed. And this is why teachers in Florida are leaving, because they got caught teaching this stuff and parents stood up and said enough. And Governor DeSanto did something about it. And other governors are looking at it. And if you look at what happened in the recent governor election in Virginia, that was the main issue of why hardcore liberals, hardcore Democrats who were pro-abortion, who are all this, voted for Governor McAuliffe. Because they realized the issue at hand here is their children. They don't want their children to be indoctrinated with these ideas, especially in first grade. The innocence of a child being snatched from them because of who is influencing their children. And then you're wondering why these kids have these issues of these thoughts of, well, am I transgender? Am I gay? Am I lesbian? Am I all that? Where is this coming from? It's coming from the school system to some degree, and entertainment as well. So I point out the fact is that, look, this isn't something that's new. I think it's something we're now becoming more aware of. And it's not to say, oh, the past generations did a horrible job. With the advent of media back in the day of not being so pervasive in our day, you could trust it back before then. Now it's starting to, everything's questionable, and it needs to be, because for so long you thought you could trust what entertainment you were taking in, because before it was wholesome, and then it started to make this shift. And I think we're now on the opposite side of that, where the lines are very clear of where people stand. And so it's something to take notice of and be aware of now and in the days ahead. So I close with that as we continue to pray for this administration, pray for our future leaders to have the wisdom and revelation of the Lord, to guide them in the decisions that they're making now and in the season ahead. And don't forget, today we have our noon prayer. We'll do it live, online only. For everyone, giving an update on some world issues in Israel, as well as we're seeing the need for prayer to continue, and as we enter into the Passover celebration this coming weekend. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.